This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, nothing like burning the bridge on your way out of town. Story here from the New York Post. Jim Edmonds will not be returning to the St. Louis Cardinals television broadcast booth this upcoming season. Quoting here from Edmonds on ESPN 101's The Morning After, "It's not fun anymore." Edmonds spent 8 seasons roaming center field for the Cardinals and 12 with their broadcasting team. He's an inductee of the organization's Hall of Fame. After 20 years around the organization, Edmonds thinks things have changed for the worst. Quote, "They don't make you feel like you're wanted to be around the stadium. Everybody's great, but it's just not the same. It's not the same organization. It's not fun to be around." 4-time All-Star, 8-time Golden Glove winner, won the 2006 World Series with the Cardinals. My boss called me the other day, and I didn't answer the phone. I called him back the next day, and I said, the reason I didn't answer the phone yesterday was because I really didn't know what to say about this year.
I'm missing it, Dan.
Not really sure I'm going to come back. Okay.
I mean, that is putting the team on blast because he is responsible for building relationships with the players, with the coaches, and to say that he feels unwanted.
We notice you've been missing a lot of work lately.
Wouldn't say I've been missing it. Did you get those TPS reports in?
We're going to need you to come in and work on Saturday.
What is a TPS report?
You don't want to know, Sam.
I don't think I do.
You know what? I don't know.
We have an update from a story that I think is important because so many of our listeners have asked us about this story. We finally have an update in that horrifyingly sad dog mauling case out of Kansas City. And I'd have to go back and look, Sam. This was months ago, correct? Months ago. And it's my understanding we know where the dogs originated. There was someone...
Well, they know where a few of the dogs originated.
Traced back to this property.
Yeah.
The mauling...
Oh, is this the guy on the bicycle?
The mauling of the victim was caught on surveillance tape.
And had a witness.
And had a witness who was injured trying to help him.
That's right.
From the Kansas City Star today, finally an update. Police take man into custody for questioning in fatal dog mauling of Kansas City man.
They had an idea who it was early on. There was a fence right down the street that it looked like dogs had chewed through the bottom of it.
Yeah, so they keyed in on that specific house because of that fence, and I do believe there were a couple of dogs in the backyard, but I don't think they're certain of whether or not the dogs that did the mauling ran back to that home, or if they were just stray dogs in the area. I would find it hard to believe that this homeowner had 8 dogs in their backyard.
I don't find that hard to believe at all. Have you been around this town?
8's a lot.
I mean, that is double the maximum allotment for domesticated animals in the city of Kansas City.
Here's the update. The owner of the dogs, believed to have mauled a Kansas City man, Chris Culbertson, to death last November, was taken into custody this morning for further questioning related to the attack. John Tebow was walking into the Kansas City Municipal Courthouse for a hearing on two separate dog-related code violations when he was taken into custody. So follow me here. He's going into court for two different dog violations when they got him. Huh. According to Detective Aaron Fisher with the Kansas City Police Department, Tebow owns a house on the block where the dog attack occurred over 3 months ago. Detectives will continue to work closely with the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office as the investigation continues.
I think it's going to be hard for them to prove that these dogs belonged to this person that they arrested for questioning.
Let me finish. Because I cannot believe there have not been charges up to this point. Like, I'm actually angry it has taken this long for this man's family. Tebow was set to appear in court November 20th on an animal citation. His gray and white male pit bull, Brix, allegedly did not have a license tag and was not neutered as required by code. That's violation number one. Okay. He was also scheduled to appear February 11th. After being cited again January 3rd for having an animal without a license. So follow me here, Sam. I don't know how many dogs that guy has. I don't know how many of those dogs mauled this poor guy to death.
What was his
and
name
how
name?
They go about proving which dogs were what. But we do know, based on prior code violations from that man and from that house, what the dogs that were being cited for violations were. And the dogs that attacked and killed this man were caught on surveillance tape in the act of that horrifying death. It's not going to be hard to prove that these dogs belong to an owner if they, in fact, belong to an owner.
Well, and that was the point that I was trying to make. If he did have eight dogs on that property, they certainly were not registered. And so there is no paperwork trail leading these dogs back to him. And they're, you know, it's not like he has a surveillance camera constantly looking at his backyard. Oh, today he has two dogs. Tomorrow he had four. The next day he had eight.
Then how do they know his gray and white pit bull mix named Bricks did not have a license tag and was not neutered?
Because they went to check on the home because somebody complained. Mm-hmm. Bricks was in the backyard. They questioned him about the dog, and he said, well, no, I didn't know I had to have a dog registered. Yep. And there is the citation.
Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about this neighborhood, okay?
East 80th Street.
Or how many homes are on that block. But with the history of citations and murmurs of complaints against this homeowner, the neighbors on that block will also be extremely important in their testimony. Because if you live near a house where there are problem dogs, you know it. Am I wrong?
No, of course. Of course you know it. But to Sam's point, and I do think he has a point, how can you prove based on a black and white video that the dogs that mauled Chris Culbertson were those dogs? Okay, all right.
I don't want to get into the science of how they're going to figure that out because this was as horrifying as it was. There are ways to figure this out.
I'm assuming dogs have DNA like humans have DNA.
We will leave it at that.
All right.
Yes.
Well, if you can prove it, then good.
It certainly doesn't look good for this guy.
No, it doesn't. The hole in the fence doesn't look good. The fact that he had, is that a fact that he had eight dogs?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is there is no way they're going to be able to prove that these dogs came from his property except for the gray and white pit bull named Bricks, which do they have proof that this dog was involved in the mauling?
What we know is that when this was happening, there were police there, correct? EMS and or fire, and another witness who
was also attacked
but was trying to help.
Right.
Instead of rounding up, you know, their immediate attention, as it should have been, was in trying to save Mr. Culbertson's life, okay?
Correct.
They were not immediately, like, thinking, should we round all of these dogs up and put them in their van? Like, what do we do? And, in fact, it was very difficult, you recall, for the first responders to even get the dogs off of him to render aid mm-hmm. to this poor man. After the attack, based on prior reporting from the Star, we'd have to go back and look. I think some of the dogs were placed back in that backyard. A couple of them may have scattered. And then so much time passed, I think, before they were able to go back and ask this guy, let us see your dogs. What happened? Who knows where the dogs went after that?
I'm going to freely admit, maybe I live in a bubble. Okay.
Yes.
Do dogs just in some neighborhoods just roam freely?
Yes.
Yes.
Especially in certain parts of Kansas City proper, Independence. There are areas where animal control has not been able to keep up with the stray dog problem.
Are they stray dogs or are they owned dogs that somebody just lets out during the day because they don't want to deal with it?
Yes.
All of those things.
913. And they run in packs.
Okay. 913. And they're not all owned by the same person?
And
they just meet on the street and go hang out together all day and look for somebody to attack?
I know that my dog was a rescue that was found living on the streets of Raytown with many other dogs.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Make sure you tune in on Friday. It's been a tradition lately.
Red Friday.
Dana Wright and Kara Markser will break down Super Bowl 59.
Like only they can.
Darn right we will.
Stats you won't hear anywhere else.
Game ain't going to break down itself.
That's right.
It was 18 years ago today that Prince performed the halftime show at the Super Bowl. 18 years ago.
Controversial. Very controversial.
The placement of his guitar neck was
phallic.
Well, you know, I remember that scandal, and I remember thinking at the time as a 10-year-old, who cares? Didn't mean to remind you that I was only 10.
It started raining when he performed Purple Rain.
So cool. It was so cool.
And then the curtain came down, and the neck of that guitar went up.
There are many people to this day who believe, and I don't know that I can argue with them, that was one of, if not the greatest Super Bowl performance of all time.
Without question. I'm trying to remember what songs he did. I think it was Let's Go Crazy, Purple Rain. What songs did Prince perform at the Super Bowl?
I mean, it rained. You can't make that up. It's like, seriously? So good.
Let's see. Well, I mean, you want to talk about controversy. It wasn't Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson.
Hello.
He did Let's Go Crazy. Well, he did several.
He had so many hits. I don't have time.
He did Let's Go Crazy, Baby I'm a Star, 1999, Proud Mary, All Along the Watchtower, Best of You, and Purple Rain.
So we're talking about football real quick. We've all heard the claims, the conspiracies, that the refs are being paid by the Chiefs to help them win.
So stupid.
The NFL Referees Association is tired of it.
Good.
We heard yesterday that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, made comment saying that this is absolutely ridiculous. How could you be making these claims? He did highlight that it's kind of a good thing that these claims are coming out because it shows how passionate the fans are.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL Referees Association, specifically the executive director, Scott Green, said in part, "It's insulting and preposterous to hear conspiracy theories that somehow 17 officiating crews consisting of 138 officials would collude to assist one team."
Well, they didn't. They didn't when the Bills came to town, and they didn't when the Chiefs went to Denver. Those were honest crews.
Yeah, just that one time.
Right.
The two games that the Chiefs lost. Yeah.
Right.
By the way, I was watching, I think it was CNN this morning, and they were reporting that ticket prices are down this year compared to Super Bowls in the past. And they attributed it mainly to Chiefs fatigue. The nation.
Give me a break. Well,
I'm not saying this town is. The nation is sick and tired of the Kansas City Chiefs, not unlike they were with the New England Patriots for almost 20 years.
But down in what way? Because there has been a precipitous drop in the last 7 days, as it typically does. The tickets are insanely expensive right after the AFC Championship game and everybody starts buying up the tickets. The reason the prices skyrocket is because people who have too much money are buying the tickets in hopes of selling them for more money to cut a profit. The cheapest ticket right now is still $4,700.
Jeez Louise.
That is for one seat. That is for a 1-foot by 1-foot space.
Yep, and that does not count travel, flight, hotel.
Some hotels are going for $5,000 a night.
That's ridiculous.
So I understand their point, but It's not like you're getting in for $50. By the way, the most expensive ticket, $56,000.
Well, still, you're not even counting the suites, which are going for like anywhere
$3 million.
Yeah, $1.5 to $3 million based on location. By the way, can I have an early grievance? I know it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
My grievance is with Fox 4. And here's why. Fox has the Super Bowl this year, right? So they sent down John Holt, Abby Eden's down there. Yep. They got the whole crew.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why not?
Down in New Orleans. Well, after their 6 o'clock news, you know what they're doing at 6:30? Chiefs specials every night this week.
Yeah.
You know what's supposed to air at 6:30 on
Your
Fox?
Wheel?
Oh, my.
Wheel America's
of
Game?
Of Fortune.
Oh, my.
Is supposed to air at 6:30 every night. So I race home last night from the show. I get home. Dinner's ready. She's so sweet. And I look at the TV. It's 6:32. And there is my friend John Holt on my television.
Yep.
And I said, don't tell me. And she goes, I won't, but you already know the answer. I said, there's no Wheel of Fortune this week, is there? And she said, nope. Fox 4 is doing 5 nights of coverage.
I know it's not quite the same. However, you could
watch reruns.
Watch old reruns. Remember back in the day when Pat Sajak, and I mean way back in the day, back in the late 70s, early 80s, there would be this revolving like studio filled of just crap. Like skis.
Yes, and you would get to
a couch.
You'd win like $10,000. Yes. You get to pick. And I want that.
You would
that.
Have to go shopping very quickly.
I want the porcelain dog.
Like that couch. I'd like the dog. Looks like a pair of Nikes there, Pat. Okay, $750 left. Pat, give me the cookware set.
Take the bubble gum dispenser.
And it would take up
and
so much
junk.
Time, and it was all junk.
Right.
Ooh, from the text line, Scott. It is airing at 2:30 in the morning.
There you go. Tape it.
Just get up early. Set your alarm.
I'm not getting up at 2:30 in the morning to watch Wheel of Fortune.
You also have 3 other texters who have your back. They are ready to revolt.
Amen.
That's like the people going, I'm never going to watch the Super Bowl again. I'm so tired of the Chiefs. Okay. Yeah. Let me know what you're doing next.
Yeah, you're right, texters. I feel you, Scott. Same, Scott. I want my Wheel of Fortune.
Well, you know, they did talk about how viewership was likely to be down because of the Chiefs fatigue that we're talking about here. But it is statistically proven every single year. Now, granted, for the last 14 years, either Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady has either been in the AFC or NFC championship
game. That's incredible.
Game,
that is incredible.
Or AFC championship game, excuse me, or the Super Bowl. So you have to go really far back to see the true numbers here. But more eyes watch the game when the juggernauts are in there than when 2 random teams are in there.
Always.
Well, and look at the last AFC championship game. It was a record. This was the Chiefs and Bills. That was a record view for an AFC championship
game. So they talk about the fatigue, and I understand that aspect of it. But more people watch because they want to see the mighty fall.
Or history made.
A quick update. A Kansas City, Missouri City Council committee has just unanimously approved spending more than $900,000 to fund a potential celebration.
Yeah, let's knock on wood.
We will leave it at that. It was passed basically without comment. Full city council will choose whether or not to adopt it on Thursday. This falls right into line with years prior. We'll leave it at that. We don't want to jinx it. Okay. But the funding is there should we need it.
From the text line, Scott, go write a check, buy a Betamax, and record Wheel of Fortune at 2:30 and watch it the next day.
You could even save your tapioca pudding for 2:30. I mean, you know, put it in the fridge. It'll be there.
All right. Scott, I'm the same age as you are. 2:30 is roughly the time I get up to go pee in the middle of the night. Might as well watch Wheel for 30 minutes. All right.
Do you feel called out?
From the USA Today.
Did you just buy a vowel?
While millions of Americans will be eating wings, drinking their favorite beverages, and taking in everything Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans offers, this Sunday millions more will be going to the sports books or their electronic devices to wager on the game. The American Gaming Association says gamblers in the United States will legally wager a record $1.4 billion on Super Bowl 59. Quoting here from AGA President and CEO Bill Miller, no single event unites sports fans like the Super Bowl. That excitement extends to sports betting with this year's record legal handle, reflecting its widespread appeal. Okay. $1.4 billion will be bet on Super Bowl 59. Quick break here at the bottom of the hour. Dana Wright, Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
There was a story I found at CNBC today, and the headline is Why More Retirement-Age Americans Keep Working. And they highlight a couple of people who've, for whatever reason, mostly financial, have kept working past the typical retirement age of 65. But what I found interesting in this story is that it is this year, 2025, where the highest number of people...
Peak 65.
...will reach 65. That's right.
They call it peak 65.
This is the year.
It will spell disaster for a number of our assistance programs.
11 million reached 65 last year. It's going to be higher than that this year.
Now, not all people retire at age 65. No. They are eligible. My gosh, my dad waited till 70, 69, 70. I could have strangled him.
Well, some people work forever because they don't know what to do after they stop. And there are some studies out there about the quick decline in your health when you no longer have that purpose to get up and go in the morning. And I hate that we live in a society where work is our purpose to get up and go in the morning, but
it's also a quick decline in your bank account. Those first 10 years of retirement, I've had friends who have retired and they will say, you do not realize how much money you are going to spend that you never thought about when you're not physically going to work 8 hours a day. So instead of going to work, you're like, oh, let's go grab lunch. That adds up. If you do sure. that 30 days, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In little ways, one of my girlfriends said, in little ways we never thought about.
Well, and I was talking to Sarah when she came over last Friday for breakfast, and she said, what are you going to do when the show comes to an end? And I said, I don't know, maybe I'll just walk into retirement. And she said something I hadn't thought about. She's like, Dad, you can't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
You get bored way too quickly. And she goes, you're going to need to find something to do. So I figured I'll just harass Sam for the rest of my life.
I was going to say, going to start reading news stories part-time?
Do that. Speaking,
maybe I'll read it on Mark Tobin's show on Saturday.
Nice. Decline. Did you hear, I don't know how they studied this, nor do I want to know, that human brain samples contain an entire spoon's worth of nanoplastics, according to a recent study.
Really?
I don't know who had the job of compiling all of this and placing it in a spoon, but it is an entire spoon's worth of nanoplastics.
They persevered.
Thank you. Cognitively, normal human brain samples collected at autopsy in early 2024 contained more tiny shards of plastics than samples collected 8 years prior. Overall, cadaver brain samples contained 7 to 30 times more tiny shards of plastic than kidneys and liver.
I was just going to say, growing up, I always thought that it was a myth that you shouldn't microwave things in plastic bowls.
Or styrofoam.
I bet I've got a spoonful up there.
I think it might be coming from the fish.
That too.
The concentrations we saw in the brain tissue of normal individuals who had an average age of around 45 or 50 years old were 4,800 micrograms per gram or 0.48% by weight. That is the equivalent of an entire standard plastic spoon. Compared to autopsy brain samples from 2016, it is 50% higher. That would mean our brains right now, Scott, are 99.5% brain. The rest is plastic.
Okay.
Not okay. So we keep seeing like unexplainable jumps in the rates of autism, in the rates of, my gosh, look at Alzheimer's and cancers and all
sure,
that stuff.
Of course.
I'm not saying this is directly tied to that, but it cannot be good for us that we have a spoonful of plastic rattling around in our noggin.
Well, we have brought this on ourselves.
1,000%.
I think you and I had a conversation just yesterday off the air on the phone where I said, go to the store and get a normal amount of food that you would get and come home with nothing in plastic. You cannot do it.
Researchers found an additional 3 to 5 times of the shard-like plastic fragments in the brains of 12 people who were diagnosed with dementia before their death compared with healthy brains. Those shards, while smaller than the eye can see, were concentrated in the walls of arteries and veins of the brain matter as well as the brain's immune cells.
I drink out of metal water bottles.
I drink out of glass milk bottles.
Think about how often you drink something that comes out of a plastic container.
Well, look at me. I swung by QT on my way in to get a Gatorade Zero.
Spoonful.
I didn't even think about it. It's in plastic.
Listen to this. Finding plastic deposits in the brain does not prove they caused the damage. Quoting here from an associate professor of pharmacology and toxicology at Rutgers. It is unclear if in life these particles are fluid entering and leaving the brain, or if they collect in neurological tissues and promote disease. I don't even need the answer to that. Like, I don't want plastics in my body that aren't, it's not supposed to be there.
Well, then we need to ban plastic because the plastic ends up in the ocean. You've seen that, that floating island of plastic in the Pacific.
Yes, yes, yes.
Back to my original point, we have brought this on ourselves, and the fish are eating things, and sometimes they end up ingesting plastic.
Well, no matter what, they end up ingesting plastic because the microorganisms that the fish eat, eat the plastic. And it goes right on up the chain.
Have you seen that floating island of plastic in the Pacific? It's disgusting.
Studies have found these plastics in the human heart, the great blood vessels, the lungs, the liver, men in your parts, the gastrointestinal tract, as well as the placenta. The biggest question is, okay, what are these particles doing to us? Honestly, there's a lot we just don't know.
Well, and of course, we don't have the causation because it's not something that we've been studying since we started implementing this substance into our daily diet intentionally.
Which was in the 50s, right? Plastic came out in the 50s, right?
Right. But you can draw a correlation between the two. If we have seen a spike in certain, Dana, you were listing off a number of mental or brain ailments. If we can see a spike in that, that correlates directly with the spike in plastic use, can we not draw some sort of connection?
Even if they can't, I think it makes most people uncomfortable as we go out and consume diet soda and, you know, buy Tupperware and buy, you know, all of it, plastics are in everything. Even in things you don't think plastics are in, it's in.
Like what?
I don't know. I never really thought much about my eyeglasses until my face started exploding.
Yep. By the way, the first plastic was invented in 1907. It was a product called Bakelite.
I've also heard people say that they drink soda out of cans because they don't want the plastic. I always hate to inform them that the inside of that aluminum can is lined with plastic.
Dennis in Kansas City. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I was calling because one of the things we don't really recognize is how our toothbrushes, the bristles on our toothbrushes are made out of plastic. and they wear down the more that you use them. So are those plastics going into our bodies?
It's possible, Dennis. They say they don't even know all the different ways it's getting into us, and that some of it could even be inhaled off of plastics, like tiny, tiny, tiny plastics coming into the air off the ocean, Scott.
He's
like
right.
If you live off the coast.
He's right. Toothbrush bristles are made of plastic.
Ah.
Huh.
You ever use a nonstick pan?
Oh, everybody does, sure.
You heat that up to a certain temperature, and you are putting microplastics into your food. Cast iron only, baby.
But why does the plastic not melt?
Teflon is a plastic
byproduct or something.
Of plastic, yeah. Huh.
Anyway.
All right. 91. You know, Vietnam has stopped taking our plastic waste for years.
Years ago.
For
yeah.
years, the United States used to ship its plastic waste across the Pacific to Vietnam. And Vietnam finally just said, enough is enough. We're not taking it anymore.
Polyester clothing.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from NBC News. Two Los Angeles County prosecutors claim in a new legal filing that they were demoted and faced retaliation for supporting the resentencing of Eric and Lyle Menendez. Prosecutors Nancy Theberg and Brock Lunsford filed government claims yesterday alleging they were transferred out of the DA's office resentencing unit due to their work supporting the brothers' resentencing and for their perceived political association with George Gascon, the former LADA. Theberg's filing further claimed that she was subjected to discriminatory treatment due to her age and her gender. Both Theberg and Lunsford had supported the resentencing of Eric and Lyle Menendez, and from October of 2024 began to attend meetings about the motion for
is that just stalled?
Yes,
just,
it is.
Yep.
I believe they have a hearing next month.
Well, it was delayed because of the wildfires in L.A., obviously impacting the court system. At this point, I don't think they're going to get out.
No offense, but why would the wildfires affect the court system?
The ability to get to the courts? I'm not sure.
Okay. Fox is finally getting into the direct-to-consumer streaming game. The company known for its news and sports TV content said today it is aiming to launch a subscription streaming service by the end of the year. Ask CNN how that went down.
Mm-hmm.
The streaming service is not meant to upend Fox's place in the traditional bundle, according to their CEO, Lachlan Murdoch. Murdoch offered few details on the streaming service beyond the high-level announcement. He said the company is designing the app now. That's kind of the same as the internet. And further information will be released in the coming months.
Okay. Good luck with that.
We're still working our way through, Your Honor.
All right. What episode are you on? You and I are both watching Bryan Cranston. This is crazy.
I think we're on 8 of the first season. We took a break last night and watched
Buckle
The Voice.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
We did watch The Voice last night.
You need
night.
A palate cleanser after some of those episodes. So you are watching Your Honor, which I told you to watch 5 years ago because it was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I have started back over with MP, and we are watching Breaking Bad because he had never seen it. And for any of you, has it been like 20 years or 50? I don't even know how long it's been.
Since Breaking Bad came out?
That thing holds up. There is, you know, except the phones that they're using in certain scenes, like the flip phone or the cordless phone.
Are you revisiting it?
Yeah. Outside of that, it's, oh my God, it's so stressful and it's so good.
Breaking Bad debuted in January of 2008. So 17 years ago.
Wow.
We were just scrolling the other night, and I'm like, have you never seen Breaking Bad?
You didn't show like, shame
well,
him, did you?
I didn't because he was so busy all of those years that there are entire, like that entire time where he worked his job, and I've told you this, he was a referee for decades.
Raising kids.
And raising, like all of that stuff. He's like, I would come home after games and just be exhausted. There was no like marathon watching, you know. You and I all have that luxury, Scott. Sam, like to some extent, have the luxury to sit around at night and like binge a show. He just didn't have that. And so if you had to pick one show to go back and tell someone, this is the one you watch.
Band of Brothers.
That, no. Breaking Bad is number one. I think a lot of people would say Game of Thrones. It's not my thing.
Sopranos?
Sopranos would be on a lot of lists.
We have recently jumped back into The Office. So they recently released the rest of the Superfan episodes, which has all of the extended cuts that didn't make it into the time slot prior. You know, you're restricted by TV. Now they're like 45 minutes long.
But wasn't The Office on cable?
It was an NBC show.
Originally,
it was?
I don't even remember, Scott, but I'll tell you this. If you need a palate cleanser, like between violent episodes of Your Honor, Office is always on in our house because it's always funny.
I have seen that. You're going to show shame me. I have seen clips of The Office kind of like where they do the CPR training. And I've always laughed and thought they were super crazy funny. I have never seen an entire episode of The Office.
Oh, start from the very beginning.
And I love Steve Carell.
It's so awkward. It's like awkward TV that makes me uncomfortable.
It'd be like putting a camera in here and watching ourselves. So
every single interaction is just awkward and makes me cringe.
And now, Dan, you mentioned that. Who would be which character? Now I must know.
Who would they be?
Well, I want to be a much older, more mature Pam.
Who would
well,
they
now
be,
I
Dan?
Can't be Jim. No,
that's awkward if you're Jim, but you actually kind of look like Jim.
Are they dating or something?
Well, that's throughout the entire show. That's a theme throughout the entire show.
You can't spoil something that is like 15 years old.
Yeah, but Scott, I am stunned you have not watched and binged that 15 times, and here's why. It makes fun of everything
corporate culture.
Yes, everything you hate, which, by the way, if I get another email about corporate training, I'm just going to have it.
I just delete them.
I
just
do
get
too.
It done.
You
Why?
Know how you stop
Why?
Those emails from coming?
Block them.
You do the training.
I haven't done any of that training in like 9 years. Why should I start now?
Because
like I have something from Legal Updates. Annual reminder.
Know not to say bad words on the air. I know not to touch someone's intimate parts without being invited.
It says here, annual reminder, data privacy and security. I've been here for 30 years. I don't need to do it every year.
Don't click on that link.
Are there videos?
I'm
just tell me right now, are there videos?
I haven't done them yet either.
I refuse to watch another corporate training
so do I.
Video.
So do I.
Do you remember last year how bad it was?
I got another one here for Block 2, Compliance, Promotions, Programming, and Digital Content. In promotions and I don't do digital content.
Well, that would be the no playola plugola portion.
I know not to do that, Sam. We've been doing this 30 years.
Yeah. Let me see what else I
can't suffer through. I cannot suffer through another corporate training video.
When you, I feel, would you?
Don't you remember the one, Dan, where the two guys are talking and the guy's like, hey, should we invite some of the girls over from sales for a beer at my house?
Oh, the harassment ones are the worst.
It's so bad.
Goes, they're kind of slutty.
Yeah, the other guy goes, I think she's frigid.
Frigid.
And then it did Jim go
wrong? Then it says, do you A, invite the girls over? Yeah, let's have a beer. B, go straight to your manager. Tell them you feel uncomfortable.
No, C, just ignore it and move on. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.